Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
I also want to take the opportunity to welcome those that are on the Message of Grace viewers and who are joining with us today, which is a little bit different for us. We're thankful to have them tune in and be part of the study with us. Now we're studying Matthew chapter 14, and the Lord came to them walking on the water, and Peter got out of the boat and began to walk and began to sink as his eyes were taken off the Lord, and called on the Lord to save him, and the Lord did so. And the Lord rebuked him for having little faith, but the little faith was enough to save him. And so we studied that last week, but we also saw how the significance of that speaks about the nation of Israel and what they're going to be facing because the Lord Jesus Christ has already been rejected this far in our study of Matthew. And in his rejection, the believing remnant is going to suffer some tribulation. They're going to suffer trouble. And as the waves of the sea were troublesome, and Jesus came walking to them on the troubled waters. He came in the fourth hour of the watch, which is the last bit of darkness before the daylight, 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's typical of the nation of Israel going through the time of Jacob's trouble and waiting and looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. It says in Hebrews 9:28, it says, "And unto them that look for him will he come the second time without sin unto salvation." And the first time he came to bear our sins, the second time he's coming as the sinless, glorified Son of God. And for those who look for him, he's coming to save them. And so he's coming to save the believing remnant of the nation of Israel. And that's what it's a picture of as they're going through troublesome times. And he comes at the fourth watch to save them. Now we studied that last time, but I wanted to bring it back to your attention because the verse that we concluded, now I know you're here in Matthew 14, but I want you to hold your place there, and I need you to come and look one more time, the book before the book of Matthew, which is the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, and then the last chapter of Malachi, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1, the prophecy concerning the nation of Israel who is going to go through a time of darkness before the Lord returns to them and establishes his long-promised kingdom to them. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun, S-U-N, the sun of righteousness, arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." And it speaks about the nation of Israel entering into her blessing, into her kingdom, in her place of protection. And the last thing that Malachi talks about is a time of judgment that's going to come upon the nation of Israel. But to those that fear God, will the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And that's typical of what we saw of Israel in the troubled sea, Israel among the midst of the nation through the judgment of God. And then here comes the Lord Jesus Christ coming to them as the sun, the fourth watch of the night, The sun is rising, and he's the Son of Righteousness coming to them. And the other thing that says is that he comes with healing in his wings. And that's what we're going to see at the end of chapter 14, is the healing that takes place after he appears as the Son of Righteousness. Now, Matthew chapter 14, in verse 34, we're going back to the thought about the Son of Righteousness. Christ came to them, and as soon as he came to them, the ship was brought to the shore, and they were at rest. Now, when it says they were brought to the shore, it's going to go on to tell us in Matthew 14 where they were brought to. Verse 34, it says, "And when they were gone over, they came into the land of the Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." So he comes to this place called the Gennesarets, and when he gets there, everyone lets him know, broadcasts the fact that Jesus Christ is in their midst, and they bring all that's diseased, and the only thing they desired is they just wanted to touch the hem of his garment, knowing that if they touched that, they would be made whole, and sure enough, they were made perfectly whole. An absolute, total healing took place, as this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of this pictures as he stepped into the ship and they entered on shore, they entered into rest. They were out of the troubled sea. The seas didn't bother them anymore, and they came to the shore, and now they're at rest, and here's the Son of Righteousness coming to the nation of Israel, and what does he have? Healing in his wings. When they reach the safe shore of the millennium, the nation of Israel, then they will receive both spiritual and physical healing. The Lord Jesus Christ will minister to them the new covenant, and the new covenant will put his laws in their hearts and cause them to walk in his ways, and then he'll give them the promises of the blessings that he promised to the nation of Israel concerning their land and concerning their prosperity, concerning physical healing, concerning everlasting life, as when he comes back in his second coming, they will be brought to their place of promise and all that he promised them will come true. And you see that pictured there. The Son of Righteousness coming with healing in his wings. Now, when I look at this, I look at this and I wonder how it is that these people would even think that if I touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And as I thought about that, I wondered how they knew that and what would cause them to think that. And so I done some looking in some scriptures and I found a couple answers to that question. First of all, I think probably we need to find out where the city's at. The Gennesaret usually isn't located on a map, but what it is they left the area of Nazareth, and then they came to the wilderness of Galilee where the feeding of the 5,000 took place. Then the Lord went up into a mountain, and they were to go into a ship, and it says, I think it says in Mark, that they were to go to Bethany. And then John, and I might have those two mixed up, said they went toward Capernaum. So you realize they're going to the western edge of the northwestern edge of the Sea of Galilee. Well, when you finally can locate the Gennesarets, what that is, it's a city, just the first city south of Capernaum. So that's the area they're at. And you say, okay, well, so what? Why does the location mean anything? Well, I think it does mean something, and we can figure out why it means something. If you remember, Capernaum is the city where we first met Matthew, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew. He was a tax collector in the city of Capernaum, and Christ told him to come follow him. And in that chapter, we learn some other things. Come back with me to Matthew chapter 9. This is where we first saw the Lord's ministry in Capernaum. The first city south of that is the Gennesarets, where the Lord has now just come, and people heard that he was there. They all came flocking to him and only wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Well, in Matthew chapter 9, you look at verse 9, and there you have Matthew, who's being called. And this is where they're at. They're in the city of Capernaum. But notice this, what the ministry takes place. We've already studied this, so I won't go through it, but Matthew is called in verse 9, and then how the Lord came to save sinners is down in verses 10 through 15. When you come to verse 16, the Lord teaches something here, and he says, "No man putteth a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put in it to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. He said, no one would patch a piece of garment by taking a new cloth and putting in the old garment, because the new cloth would be strong and the old garment would just continue to rip and it would be worse than before. Now just think for a moment what a hem of a garment is for. The reason you'd put a hem in a garment is to make sure it wouldn't rip, that the edges of the garment, of the robe or whatever you're making, doesn't fray, and if it frays, it's going to rip, and if it rips, it's no good, it's good for nothing. But I remind you that when we studied Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, we began to realize that what this is talking about is the new covenant that Jesus Christ came to give to the nation of Israel. Like the sinners that are described before that, under the old covenant, the nation of Israel was failing to keep God's laws. And when they failed to keep God's laws, Jeremiah 30 promised that God would institute to the nation of Israel a new covenant, and one that he would write his laws in their hearts rather than on a piece of stone, and cause them to walk in his ways, and then they would be blessed. And so the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come just to straighten people's lives up and get them back under the law and get them going again, because the law would only, they'd only break it again worse. The Lord Jesus Christ came to institute a new covenant to the nation of Israel, pictured by this, by the parable here of the garment with a rent and new cloth. He's not patching the old. He's come to institute something new. Now notice the next thing that takes place after that. The Lord is called to a ruler's house, but while he's going to the ruler's house, we read this in verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And you'll recall what happens to this woman. She's healed. Now, where does all this take place? Well, that's why I told you geographically that this all took place in Capernaum. The Genesarts is just south, the first city south of Capernaum. When the Lord showed up, they went to all the region round about and said, the Lord is here. And apparently these people had known the testimony of this woman who touched the hem of his garment and were healed. Now he's back in their land, and that's his fame is spread throughout that land, and now they're coming just to touch the hem of his garment that they might be healed. And so this lady spread the news about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for her. Now we don't live in the age of healing today. We live in an age in which the message today is not the kingdom, but it's the cross. And the Lord has done something to you that above all things you ought to be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and was raised for your justification. But the reason I say all this, if that lady in that town shared that message with all those people, that the next time the Lord Jesus showed up, they're there waiting to get the blessing from him, then what should you and I do with the message that we have about our forgiveness of sins? We ought to be sharing the blessing of our salvation like she shared the blessing of her healing. And that's one of the reasons why I know that when he came into that town, that the people were there waiting and knew if they touched the hem of his garment, they could be healed because of who he is and because it was done once before. But even why did she do it once before? How would you know anything about the hem of a garment? Well, look at one other place with me. Come over with me to Matthew chapter 23. Remember, the hem is the finishing touch of making a robe that would make it so that the bottom fringe of the robe doesn't tear and come unraveled. It's the finishing touch. And certainly that the Lord Jesus Christ is come to bring the finishing touch to the nation of Israel. And that is, as we've already pointed out, the bringing in of the new covenant. But the nation of Israel long had recognized the hem to be something somewhat spiritual, somewhat heavenly, something of a blessing of God. And you see a hint of it in the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees aren't to be commended. The Pharisees are, in this chapter 23, the Lord rebukes them over and over again because of their hypocrisy. These are the guys that wore the long robes, that carried the big, large Bible, that told everyone what to do in the law, but never kept the law themselves. The Lord calls them hypocrites over and over again because everything they did, whether it's standing in the street making long prayers, it was for a pretense. Everything was hypocritical. The religious men who were not at all involved in understanding God, nor did they recognize the Lord Jesus Christ when he came, but they thought that they were the teachers of the people and so forth. One of the things that they did in their hypocrisy is written in Matthew 23 in verse 5. It says in verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad the palacaries, and that is the Bibles that they carry around, the books, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms in the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the greetings in the marketplace. They love to be called rabbi. They wanted people, religious people, to be call them father. And the Lord rebukes for ever calling a religious man wearing a robe father in this passage of Scripture. These were all the hypocritical things, trying to look religious, act religious, called religious titles, and it's all pretense. But one of the things they did in a pretense is the end of verse 5, they enlarged the borders of their garment. Now you and I, we would think, well, that don't sound religious. Why? So they have a border of their garment. They got a big hem. Why would you want a big hem in your garment? Well, it meant something religious, as you see, for the nation of Israel. It meant something, it displayed something about spirituality. Now, so that shows that the hem of the garment was important to them. And where this comes from is if we go all the way back to the book of Numbers, chapter 15, we'll see what it's all about. And this is the Lord giving all the ordinances to the nation of Israel, so it's not just something to the priest. There's many places in the Old Testament that you read about the borders of the priest's garment and how they had to be a certain way. But this is the general people here. This is not just the priest's garment. This is to the nation of Israel. It says in verse 37 of Numbers chapter 15, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, that they may and that they put upon the fringes of the border a ribbon of blue. So they're to make a hem in their garments, and they're supposed to put a blue ribbon in that hem. It says in verse 39, and it shall be unto you a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So the nation of Israel was to put a blue-bordered hem in their garments, so that when they looked upon it, they remember basically two things. Number one, that they would remember to keep the commandments of the, to do the, well, first remember the commandments of the Lord and do them, that's one. And then the second thing is, and that they seek not after their own heart, nor after your own eyes. In other words, don't just do what you think you ought to do, or by what you see, I see that I should do this. You're not to walk that way. He's teaching them two things. God has given them the commandments, and now they're supposed to do them. And in keeping in God's word, they are to walk by faith. Not by sight. They're to walk by faith in what God said. They're not to let their conscience or their heart be their guide. They're let to be the scriptures be their guide. And so they were given the commandment, and whenever they saw the blue fringe, it would remind them to be those two things. And it's repeated again in verse 40, and the second time, after it says to do his commandments, it says, and to be holy unto our God, your God. So that blue fringe is a reminder of them to not walk after their own heart, after their own eyes, but to walk according to the word of God, to walk in faith. And as a result of that, to be holy. That's what it was supposed to remind the nation of Israel of. Blue in your Bible is a color, well, it's a color of the sky. It's the color of heaven. And when they looked down and saw the blue borders, when they thought of the law, who did they remember gave them the law? The law was the law of God. Now that's the old covenant given to the nation of Israel, and they broke the old covenant. Then God promised to give them a new covenant. And what we've learned in Matthew chapter 14, that Jesus Christ is that bread that came down from heaven. He is the one that the blue garment of his clothing, he is the very one who came down from heaven to give them a new covenant. And now they're not to walk after their own heart or walk after their own eyes. They are to believe in the word of God. And that's who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word come down from heaven. And they're to recognize that He is the one that has come to them as the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings, and that blue border of His garment was different than everything else. He was holy. He's the one who could give them their blessing. He's the one that could satisfy their needs. And they recognized who He was, the bread of heaven, the Holy One from God, who's come to earth, and He came to institute unto them a new covenant by which they can be spiritually blessed, healed of their soul's disease of sin, and then be healed as well of their physical ailment, because that's part of the new covenant to the nation of Israel. And they, by recognizing who He was, that the fringe of that garment recognized His holiness, showed to them His holiness and what He was able to do for them as the one who came down from heaven. And so they came to Him, and as Matthew chapter 14 ends, they were saved, or healed. How does that say that? Perfectly whole as they touched the hem of His garment. And so there was biblical significance for knowing that, not only the testimony of the woman, but what that blue meant to them. Let me just share with you, and since we're done with chapter 14, I kind of like to just review the chapter with you so that you'd get this point. And you've studied it with me, so we're not going to go through the chapter. But chapter 14 is all about the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the believing remnant is to expect now that He's been rejected. The chapter opened up with the death of John the Baptist, and that's what the believing remnant of Jesus Christ can expect. They're going to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, and then after He raises from the dead, the believing remnant of the nation of Israel is going to suffer persecution and in the time of their tribulation. And as we read Revelation chapter 20, that their people are going to be beheaded for the witness of Christ. That's exactly how John the Baptist died. And then they're going to have to flee into a desert place. And that's the next thing that you saw in Matthew chapter 14, where you read in Revelation chapter 12, God is going to feed them for 3.5 years and protect them from total annihilation as the believing remnant is going to have to flee Jerusalem because of the Antichrist who's going to come in and set up the mark of the beast and so forth. And so like they went out into a desert place and the Lord fed them, so the believing remnant is going to have to be fed of the Lord for 3.5 years until His second coming. But after they go through that time of trouble, as Israel in the midst of the nation or under the judgment of God, the time of Jacob's trouble, as they suffer through that time, they're to keep their eyes heavenward. They're to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ because He's going to come to them at the end of that darkness, that time of darkness. He's going to come in the fourth hour of the watch, and He's going to come and bring calm to their life, and He's going to save the believing remnant of Israel and bring them safely back into the land, and they're going to rest in the millennium that He's going to establish. And just like we saw at the end, He's going to heal them. He's going to institute the new covenant, and He's going to bless them spiritually, and He's going to take away all their sins, and then He's going to bless them physically as He's going to restore the nation of Israel to physical blessings. The land's going to be restored. The people are going to be restored to health. They're going to be restored to prosperity, and the nation of Israel is going to be the head of the nations and be the agency that God is going to use at that time then to reach out to the other nations of the world. That's Matthew chapter 14 in all that we have studied.
Haste today. when my faith shall recite. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It was our privilege to have you be a part of our Bible study today at Grace Bible Church. We hope someday you'll come and be part of our service. If there's anything we could ever do for you, especially in a spiritual way, we hope you call on us. We'd love to sit down and open up a Bible and show you from God's Word how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can know that you have a home in heaven, and how for sure that you can know that you're saved.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.